G'day, Alan Langer here. They reckon the Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man is lifting podcasting to new heights. I reckon they could use a bit of a boost from Height for Hire myself. Call 1-800-HEIGHT or go to heightforhire.com.au.
Hello, welcome to the catch-up. There are balls ups and then there are the closing ceremony for the Comm Games. My goodness, that was a mess.
Yeah, we didn't actually talk about some of the uniforms that they had people in at the closing ceremonies. There was one group of women that literally, and I'm not kidding, had dead possums over their shoulder.
Kiwis, they eat possums and
No. It was during the Indigenous ceremony and the stuff that they did was amazing, but they literally had the skins of dead possums over their shoulders.
Were they tied together?
Just one possum?
A possum.
Possum skin is a deeply revered garland, yes, in Indigenous law.
I've got a friend who she shoots a lot of Aboriginal documentaries and
the
Indigenous whole coat. She had some people down, where are they, down around Gippsland or somewhere, but they gave her to wear one day, it's passed around the tribe, a whole coat full of it's all possums sewn together.
I wish someone would tell me that when I'm watching a ceremony, because it was so weird for me as someone who clearly didn't understand.
Well,
so you just come in here mocking 65,000 years of bloody tradition.
I am not mocking that. I just didn't understand it. There was a dead possum on someone's shoulder. I didn't know what that
meant. That's interesting, though. They've been killing them for that long and still there's bloody possums everywhere.
There's heaps of them.
They're hardy, aren't they?
Be sweating in that. Andrew Denton joined us today as well. He's got a new show called Interview, which he told us about. Plus Israel Folau, you'd know him as a code hopper, went from rugby league to rugby union.
I can't guarantee my rumour is correct, but I just thought in case it comes off, I'd better mention it this morning.
Game-changing rumour.
Gone!
From rugby. Okay, we'll get to that. That's all in the catch-up. Enjoy it.
Commonwealth Games, 11 days. That was magnificent, wasn't it?
Wasn't it great?
Oh, everyone had some. Well, you were the only one of all of us who went down there. And
I
loved it.
I loved it. And I think that in the future dates, someone within the government's head has to roll for stopping people from participating. But that's another story. We are still in the glory of the closing ceremony.
Let's let Peter Beattie get away with that one, perhaps, at this stage. Well, you'll never pin anything on him anyway, so it's all fine.
So much happened in those last few days, but I think all of us, and we spoke about this a lot this morning, our hearts go out to Callum Hawkins, the Scottish marathon runner who fell over and hit his head.
It's awful.
We might talk about that a bit deeper, more deeply later in the show.
That's going to be our can of worms. Should Michael Shelley have stopped for him? It's an interesting question. We'll get to it very soon.
But last night, a closing ceremony. Mate, I couldn't last that long. I go to bed early. I watched a bit of The Voice, spinning chairs, and then they said the closing ceremony's not on until after MKR.
Yeah, at 8:17, I turned it over and it had just started.
And you watched a fair bit of it?
I watched most of it. I thought the music stuff was really good. They had three separate stages. Ricky Lee came back. Anthony Kalia was there. Guy Sebastian sang.
So you could watch
The
Voice.
So all the big names. Some real rippers.
You know what, though? If they,
to finish seventh in one of those Australian Idol or something?
Yeah. If they really wanted to get the actual music of the Commonwealth Games, they should have got John Williamson with True Blue should have got John Farnham with The Voice.
Neither of them fronted?
No, I saw John
Williamson at the swimming one day, standing in the grandstand singing True Blue with a microphone.
So clearly he can be bored.
Did anyone ask him to sing it, or did he just bring a microphone along? Hey, True Blue.
You might notice I'm here.
John Williamson. Look at me.
He was. You're right. He was right
John,
in the middle.
John, can you just sit down, mate? Because I can't see the backstroke, you know. Hey, True Blue.
Now, the big worry. There's a lot of spewing going on about.
There is on social media.
So social media, like Twitter blew up while the closing ceremony was on.
Yeah, because what happened was, as they came straight off MKR, they came into the music stuff.
Did Manu do the throw? And now...
No.
Over the closing ceremony.
Not that I saw, unless I missed that bit. And the athletes had already come in. So they missed the most, which I think is actually the most important part of the closing ceremony, which is celebrating the athletes. Yes. And, of course, we missed the flag bearer, as in Kurt Fearnley,
after what he'd done that morning winning the marathon.
And he was so tired, and he would have deserved all of us.
So
we
missed all the athletes jumping up and down as they walked in and going, look at us
loving
for
it.
One last time.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know.
It's about them.
Their time to celebrate 11 days of great sport and all of that, you know, training and sacrifice they go through. And they decided that, let's just have some fireworks and a couple of competition winners from Oz Idol.
No, I'm reading there was a lot of politicians. There was Tom Tate, the mayor, there was Palaszczuk, there was Beattie, there was the mayor of Birmingham, there was the head of gold,
the Commonwealth Games. Yeah.
There was some woman poet from Birmingham.
Boring.
Yeah,
yeah, it was. It was really
well, boring. Listen, I think we've been listening to it. Chris in our news has been playing it all morning. Joanna Griggs and Basil Zemplis, they went against company policy, I would figure. They're broadcast, and they actually, some of the words they use, we can't play it all, obviously. Chris has been playing a little bit. We've got another little bit of Joanna Griggs, of course, everyone knows her from swimming, and what's that show she does on a Friday night?
Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah, that's right. Joanna, what did you think? You were on air. Let's have a listen to what she had to say.
You know, Basil, you're being way too polite. People are thinking that Channel 7 has chosen not to show these pictures of athletes. We can only show the pictures of the things that they give us. I know, we think we're the host broadcast. We are actually the host broadcast. Listen, what would I know about any of this anyway? I just do cushions and curtains. I am the tennis. Hello, welcome back to the Screens of 7 Mega Wall. Ah, where was I? I'm really angry.
Wow.
Joanna Griggs really lost her mind.
If you have been watching the Commonwealth Games coverage, every second ad and promo in the ad breaks features Andrew Denton, and it has been proven that he can vacuum a chair because he has got a brand new show coming back to Channel 7. It is called Interview, and he joins us. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning. You're quite right. My wife keeps looking at me saying, well, what about at home?
You're not known for vacuuming your chairs then?
Actually, not the chair, no. I'm not quite that OCD. The floor, I draw the line.
Hey, Andrew, you mentioned your wife early in the interview. She's one of Australia's cleverest women, and my wife's a big fan of hers.
Jennifer Byrne.
Jennifer Byrne. But my wife wanted to know, what do you and her talk about at home? Is it highbrow, or is there...
How about them Rabbitohs?
Actually, Jen refers to rugby league as just that awful noise. She hates rugby league. No, we just, like most people, we just talk about rubbish. Who's going to cook tonight? Are you going to walk the dog? Why are you wearing my stilettos? Things like that.
Andrew, after five seasons of Enough Rope where you interviewed a huge range of people, was there somebody left that you wanted to interview that you didn't get a chance to?
Yes, there is. The man who looks more and more like the creation that he owns, Montgomery Burns, Rupert Murdoch. I'd love to talk to Rupert Murdoch. He's undeniably one of the most interesting human beings on the planet for the last, 290 years, as far as I can tell.
You better hurry up, though. He's in his 80s.
Oh, he's not dying anytime soon. Rupert's going to live forever.
He harvests a fresh set of organs every year. Is he going to pop up on Interview?
I don't know. I mean, he's declined every time before, so I'm not holding my breath. I will certainly be asking, and you never know.
It's interesting with interview shows because often they start talking to real people and then shows move on to just famous people. But you're saying you're going to do everyone and every kind of story, yeah?
Absolutely. In fact, during Enough Rope, we often found... when we started just talking to people in the audience and people would say, oh, what are you talking to them for? But by the end of the series, that was actually people's favourite part because it's often somebody you've never heard of. Suddenly, as that story unfolds, it's like, oh, my God. In our audience the other night, we had this girl who, really lovely young woman in her 30s, who she's got this very rare... disease, which means her entire body keeps dislocating. Things will dislocate even as she sleeps. Her arm dislocated just cutting some chicken. And that all sounds very, very grim. But when you see her, she's so sweet and she's so... there's no sort of bitterness or anger or sadness. It's just like, wow, this keeps happening and I really wish it wouldn't. And, you know, you will pass her on the street and not give her a second thought. But there's this amazing story there.
Hey, Andrew, I saw you on the Matty John show a few weeks ago. You were magnificent. Angus Crichton was sitting next to you. Now, he's the bloke that chopped his finger off because it kept dislocating, isn't he?
Ooh.
That's right, yeah. He chopped the top of one of his fingers off and, it gives you an idea of the sacrifice some of these guys made. I was actually able to tell him my dad lost the top two of his fingers to a buzzsaw many years ago, and I told him the trick to freak out little kids, you just stick the half a finger up your nose, and they think you're picking your nose big time.
Interview starts next Tuesday, 9 o'clock on Channel 7. We can't wait for this show. Andrew Denton, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I don't know how to start this. Brenda, just go to your right. Look right at the board at 7:10.
Yes.
Tell me how debacle has been spelt.
Okay, there's no K in a debacle.
No.
There's not B-A-R-K in the middle of debacle. It's not as in the dog
barkle. Unless you're trying to be funny and talking about dogs and it's
this
a problem with
dogs. This brings us to something we've been talking about for quite some time.
Because we don't mind picking one another up when someone makes a mistake.
Oh, no, we love
makes our life interesting.
That's a sport in this studio.
We like to bury people who make a mistake.
And if you don't say anything the correct way... If you are living under the impression that, I didn't realise.
You'll soon get corrected.
Yes.
What did I pick up the other day? Oh, Dulles Dish. I used to think it was dishwater. Mm-hmm. It's ditch, D-I-T-C-H, Dulles Ditch Water. So the water lying next to a road in a culvert, that's
Why
a ditch.
Why is that dull?
Because it's just sitting there and nothing's happening in there at all. It's dull as. Makes sense, and yes. Dishwater's dull as well.
Dull, yeah.
Yeah, so you can see why that mistake is made. So it's opaque, you can't see through it, it's dull, it's thick, it's basically it's calling someone dumb, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Now, the strip in the middle of the road is...
Median?
The median strip, yes. Yeah. Well, often referred to as the medium strip.
Have you heard someone call it medium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
I never have. Who are they?
Me?
Who are they?
Oh, I haven't picked you up on that one.
Who are they? Me.
So why is it? What is it and why?
Well, median. And median means kind of halfway between. Medium also has that similar connotation, but it doesn't mean halfway between. Okay. It means...
Are we getting pedantic?
We are very pedantic.
Okay, so if you have a nap... And it's really short. Is it a nana nap or a
I think it
nano
is.
Nap? You know, like
nervous.
As in a quick.
Is it nano? I thought it was nana.
No, well, I think it's supposed to be nano.
Oh.
Yeah,
no. It's nana nap because that's what they do in the afternoon after a cup of tea and scones.
All right, I'll give you another one. I went out at the bay one day and we looked and there was no wind at all on Moreton Bay, okay? Mate of mine said, oh, my God, this is a milk pond. I said, what'd you say? A milk pond. It's when there's no waves at all. I said, mate, it's mill pond, M-I-L-L. Oh, is it?
This is a okay. milk pond.
Well, it's so easy.
I hate to tell you, everyone, it's a nano.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're idiots.
Nano. Really? Yeah, a 10 to 20 second sleep.
Maybe it's an Italian dictionary you're looking at. They're just
One more. You know when you say I got a little interesting piece, a little tidbit.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Tid.
Well, what's a tid when it's at home?
I don't know, but that's how you're supposed to do it.
No.
Yeah.
Tidbit. I notice you say the other one quite a bit.
Yeah,
Robin.
I do. It's a tidbit.
No, it's not a tidbit.
133353, what have you been getting wrong your entire life? What did you get corrected on? Or maybe this is a bit of an amnesty. You can dob in someone that is still saying the wrong thing. Get on air. Say, hey, mate, it's not that. It's
hold on. I
Yes, sir?
I've just had a look at the dictionary, and it is a tit bit.
Oh, you're kidding.
Thank small, you.
Oh, my God.
A small, win. Small piece of tasty food.
What?
And the North American version is tid bit because they don't like saying.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner there. I like that. What things have you been saying wrong your entire life? Because it is very frustrating when you hear something said wrong.
Yeah, but it's even funnier when we correct you in here and we're wrong, and that happens with monotonous regularity. But Rory, what have you heard?
Hi, I'm a chef, but I've worked here as a barista, you know, making coffee.
Yep.
And an espresso, E-S-P-R-E-S-S-O, is a single shot of coffee, right?
Right.
I have heard 9 out of 10 people call it an espresso.
No.
Do you correct them?
Well, I mean, I'm not Italian, so I kind of feel a bit awkward about the semantics of it. But if I was Italian, it would definitely roll me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a bit of a subtle one, but it still irks me.
Okay. Yeah. And if you can be bothered getting angry,
you've seen the difference. Espresso.
You've seen the different ways they spell it too. Cappuccino is another one. How the different alternatives for spelling that?
I can't spell cappuccino.
Oh, well, what about people who call it a cup of chino? Come on, Mark.
I'm trying hard enough.
Anthony of Labrador, what have you heard?
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good.
I work in the plumbing industry and people are forever complaining about their broken toilet system.
Oh, instead of, hold on, let's check everyone knows. What is it?
You not know, a system.
Yeah, I
it's
do,
a
mate.
Cistern.
Cistern. Not a toilet system.
That's
so
good, though.
What is a cistern? What is it?
Well, the
receptacle.
The pan and the part that flushes is your cistern. And that makes up toilet suite.
Okay.
Could be a toilet Thank receptacle. Okay.
A cistern is a tank that contains water, according to Oxford. And just to correct you too, yes. Brendo, because you corrected our producer Scott for saying titbit, and you said it's not a titbit, it's a tidbit.
Yeah.
Well, according to Oxford, here we go, waiting for it.
Oh, good. No, you've brought evidence. It's wonderful.
Have you got a man in your phone?
He's got a man in his phone.
You've got a man in your phone who corrects things.
Anyway, potato, let's move on to Peter from Wavell Heights. What's the word, Peter?
G'day, guys. How you going? Love the show.
Good, mate.
Thank you.
What do you got? Which word?
Mate, the word that's annoyed me, I'm 50 years old, it's annoyed me all my life, is people that say kilometre rather than kilometre. Because the word is kilometre, just like it is millimetre. It's not millimetre. centimetre is not centimetre. And my personal favourite, kilogram is not kilogram.
If Do you people take it to say it, that?
Well, people on your radio station, on the traffic report, say it as well. But I reckon a good proportion of people use
not anymore.
Yeah. I could drink beer with you. We could have a great old time.
Okay, how do you take film
kilometer.
Or film?
Oh, don't say film.
I can't stand when people say film.
I'll go into the films.
Get your raincoat off, mate.
Razor of Springfield Lakes. What have you got?
Yeah, when I was younger, I got really thirsty and I have to clench my thirst.
Clench it.
No.
I just couldn't grasp it, but, you know, I got it right eventually.
Oh, well, you're owning it, though. That's very impressive,
that
friend.
That is horrific.
Sure is. 8:46.
Sorry about the netball. Or nitball.
Oh, we got the sevens, that's all right.
Did you?
Yeah, men and women.
We didn't watch any of that. Well, we did.
Don't you wish it was sixes?
Better than sucks. It is 8:46. he loves it.
You're children. You're all children. Now, another thing the Gold Coast organisers of the Commonwealth Games got wrong was the starting time for the men's marathon. What happens when you run 2 hours, 15 minutes at top speed?
Yeah, you get hot. When did it start, the marathon
yesterday?
Just
on 8 o'clock, because they let Kit Fernley go first at 6 o'clock, then the women's wheelchair, then the women's marathon, and then finally they let the blokes go. That was the last event of the track and field was the men's marathon.
Yeah, it's always the last event. 10:15
yesterday morning, what did we see?
We saw the most distressing, I just found it heartbreaking, the Scottish guy who was leading the marathon. He had only 2Ks to go after running 40 kilometres.
Callum Hawkins, his name was, yeah. But he was winning by miles. He was winning by 3 minutes.
And something happened. Now, I don't understand. I thought it was lactic acid, but you said to me it's oxygen to the brain.
I think he just...
His body shut
probably
down.
Probably everything. His body shut down.
Basically, so if you didn't see it, he ran into a barrier, fell over. Someone tried to come and help him and he said, don't touch me because if you help me, I can't keep going. He gets back up. His sense of balance is gone.
He ran another kilometre.
Yeah, and he was bumping into stuff.
It was horrible to watch.
And then he came down for the last time and couldn't get back up. And in the meantime, the Australian came whizzing through and ended up getting gold.
Whizzing, was it? Michael Shelley, and good on him. Yeah, that's
Congratulations
fine.
Congratulations to Michael Shelley. He's the winner.
It was 3 minutes. You couldn't see him in the distance while they were looking at the Scottish guy, Callum Hawkins, on the ground. You couldn't see Michael Shelley. And he got a gold medal. That's his second gold medal.
Now, the big bone of contention, of course, is should he have stopped and helped Callum Hawkins? Now, there's a tradition in Australia, and it was started with the great John Landy, who stopped to help Ron Clark up.
No, Roger Bannister, wasn't it?
No, that was the other one. It was Ron Clark.
Yeah, right.
So Ron Clark fell over. It was a qualifier for the 1956 Olympics, and he stopped, helped him up, and still went on to win the race. Now, whether the Australian should have stopped or not, I don't think it's his job to stop.
Oh, yes, it is. As a human being, it is.
Mm. No, the Commonwealth Games is a big organisation. They've got medical staff. There's
but there were also any medical staff. The medical staff were taking photos from what I could see. No one seemed to be helping him. But if he's a colleague, like even this morning, riding my push bike to work, all cyclists, I know because everyone in the whole world hates us. If you're a cyclist and you see another cyclist on the side of the road, it was 3:45 this morning, I stopped and said, "You right, mate?" That's all you got to do. He said, "Yeah, no worries." Kept on going, and that's all he had to do.
And I understand that.
He already had a gold medal.
I'm not saying that people should not stop to help other people. But we're talking about a competition that you prepare for all of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Another man has fallen. I mean, what possible assistance could the Australian render? You know,
but that's not all you want. You just want you're okay.
I want him to be a nice person because what he does is being a Commonwealth runner. Who he is the person who stops to see that another person is down and that they're okay.
Let's just check, because Channel 9 grabbed hold of him after the race and asked him the same question. He was trying to push him away.
There is that side of, because you don't like seeing someone, you know, falling over and that sort of thing, but obviously there's the competitive side as well that you got to finish the race.
Two sides. Righto. Hold on, have a listen to his old man.
The poor bugger in front, you know, you feel sorry for him. He was going, anyhow, Michael plugged on and he got his Irish up and that was it.
Anyway. He buggered
but that
other bloke.
That really is, I mean, it might sound harsh, but good on him. You know, got to run and finish the race and win gold, and that's what
you
have to do in a marathon.
What would you have remembered more? Michael Shelley won the gold medal, or Michael Shelley stopped,
gave
that guy a hug, actually got down on the ground and gave him a hug and shared some water with him? I would rather not finish the race. I don't know. I'd remember that.
All right, let's do
this. Are you fake crying?
Can of worms.
It is the most controversial thing to happen since Malawi beat New Zealand in the women's netball. Are we going to say Michael Shelley should have stopped and helped?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And I say no, he shouldn't have stopped. It's a games organisation. There's meant to be people there to help.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
We're talking about the marathon yesterday morning. Michael Shelley, the Australian, won gold, but it was only after he ran past a very distressed Scottish athlete whose name was...
Callum Hawken.
Callum Hawken, who was in the lead but collapsed because his body pretty much...
On the Southport Bridge there. That's where he fell over and he just lay there.
My body's shutting down.
Stop it.
My bloody legs can't run no more.
Michael Shelley from Australia was 3 minutes behind. And the front page of the Courier Mail has got that moment when he ran past him on the ground. He didn't even bat an eyelid. He didn't even look.
I know.
Didn't even drop a cricket ball like Nathan Lyon over in South
Callum
Africa.
Maybe Callum Hawkins said to him, "You keep running, you run and win gold."
Basically, Moon says that, you know, he shouldn't have stopped, and Marlo and I says he should have.
I should have stopped just to say hello.
Simo of North Lakes, what do you reckon?
G'day. I reckon that, no, he did the right thing. He kept on going. They've got tons of support staff there. My rationale for that is that when the weightlifter hurt his leg, you know, he wasn't expected to crawl off and such. No, they had staff there to support. And the other thing was, here's a question for Marto. When you were playing rugby union, if one of your teammates was hurt and lying down, you didn't stop playing and missed the tackle. You just kept on playing the game, didn't you?
That's true.
But the game stops, though.
Sometimes it doesn't. But actually, I'll tell you what, if a bloke was swallowing his tongue, yes, we did demand that the referee stop the game.
Okay,
that
when did a bloke swallow his tongue?
That's fair enough. People are fitting. Yeah, people are having fits from getting hit so hard.
Oh, my God, what
that's
is
not
this?
Good. That's when you get the
Excuse
touch
me,
judge's
Rev.
Flag. And
can we stop for a bit because this guy's choking to death?
Yeah. Well, that's what you yell it out a bit louder than that.
Oh, great. Paul of Bulimba, what do you reckon? Should Michael Shelley have stopped and helped in the marathon? Hello, Paul.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you're a no as well. Yeah. Why not? Wouldn't it have been a nice thing for 10 seconds to say, mate, are you okay?
No way. It's not his responsibility to do that. He's a competitor. There's, as other people have said, there's heaps of people there who are responsible for looking after the welfare of athletes. And beyond that, I think it's wrong of you guys on the announce team to actually denigrate this athlete for continuing on in his competition. It's just not on, guys.
Why? Okay,
Paul,
no,
Paul,
why?
I didn't. I'm actually on your side, Paul. So, yeah, get stuck into the other two for running Michael Schell into the ground.
I didn't.
Absolutely. Like this guy has trained his whole life to get here, and you want to give him a hard time because he didn't do something that wasn't his responsibility.
Yeah, but except as a human being.
Right.
No. Yes, it is, because what I'm saying is that at some point the competition stops and a person as a human caring about another human, we don't even know. At that point, we didn't know whether Callum Hawkins was going to live or not. You know, like, how would he have felt after that? I think that it goes beyond about sport and actually is about who you are as a person. That you care.
I know he would have ruined his rhythm by slowing down or stopping, but
maybe he wouldn't have even been able to get started again. Maybe he would have started cramping up. I mean, he'd run 40
I reckon he would have made more money out of that action of sportsmanship than he did out of, like, who cares, Michael Shelley won the gold medal. If he would have stopped and shown himself to be a great Australian, he could have capitalised that if that was important to him.
Wade of Clayfield, what do you reckon?
Look, I can see where Paul's coming from. The guy's an athlete. He's trained all his life. But I got to say, when I saw that, he should have stopped. I would have stopped. And it's the Aussie way. Just pull up and, mate, yeah, okay, just like Marto said. Right. Now, look, I went to school with Marto. Marto, I don't know if you remember me. We were in the same class together.
Yeah.
And when we used to run the cross country, I would always lead. I was the best cross country runner in the class. And when I get over that bridge across the railway line, Marto was always coming in second. And if you were calling out to me, God, I don't know if you can remember it, mate, but I'd stop. And we'd run in together, and old Alex Evans would be there with the stopwatch.
Righto.
And he'd be questioning your times. And it's just the Aussie thing to do. You stop.
Okay.
And you have to do it.
Fond memories on one of your behalves.
Do you remember, Marto?
No, not really. Cross country wasn't my thing.
Got the results at 133353.
I remember Wade.
95% of callers say you're a dill. Moon Man, no, he shouldn't have stopped. Take the gold, keep running. All good.
Yeah. So hold on. 95% people have said no.
Say that Robin and I are fools.
Sorry, you're not a dill, Moon.
We are me.
So Moon laughing at Scots people, that's okay.
Oh, my legs, honey, work no more.
100% of the callers are fine with that. It's 7:45 on Brisbane's Triple E. Big breakfast.
I want the gold.